This is Jay Sekulow. Secretary of State carries defense to terrorism? Have the news media not report it?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The secretary making the comments during his first official visit to Bangladesh, telling reporters, quote, "If you decide one day you're going to be a terrorist and you're willing to kill yourself, you can go out and kill some people. You can make some noise. Perhaps the media would do us all a service if they didn't cover it quite as much. People wouldn't know what's going on."
I think this is the perfect embodiment of exactly how they see the terrorist threat, that it's just a series of unrelated, unfortunate incidents that don't amount to a coherent threat. And that it is precisely things like publicity and attention that inspires other people who are probably economically downtrodden to get up one day and commit a terrorist act.
We're living in a very different world, and terrorists have learned how to exploit that media.
Look, my response to him, if you do your job and keep us safe and destroy ISIS and stop terrorism in the United States and worldwide, we'll report on it a lot less because there'll be nothing left to report. But as long as the administration fails and refuses to recognize the problem, and as long as ISIS and radical Islam grows exponentially, then yes, the media is doing its job by letting the American people know.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It's not known exactly how many people were killed by ISIS and buried in these graves, but estimates suggest as few as 5,000 or so, and maybe upwards of 15,000.
ISIS is like the Nazis. The mass graves you're seeing are like the Nazi death camps. And so we need to fight it with an economic tool, an ideological tool, a moral tool, as well as a military tool. And this administration keeps arguing about, well, no boots on the ground or a few thousand. It's a bigger problem than that because it's spreading worldwide.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
This is beyond the pale of anything you could imagine a Secretary of State would say regarding terrorism. I'm going to read for you the bite because I want the words to sink in. This is what he said. No country is immune from terrorism. It's easy to terrorize. Government law enforcement have to be correct 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Now, by the way, that's all correct. I agree with everything he said right there. Then he says this. But if you decide one day you're going to be a terrorist and you're willing to kill yourself, you can go out and kill some people. You can make some noise. Perhaps the media would do us all a service if they didn't cover it quite as much. People wouldn't know what's going on. This is from the Secretary of State of the United States. You have Loretta Lynch saying the way to deal with terrorism is to show love. You've got the Secretary of State saying the way to deal with terrorism is to have the media not report it. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Almost speechless when I hear this one.
Yeah, it's tough to really understand what John Kerry's thought process was, in, especially speaking in a foreign country where he represents the country with the most freedom of the press, with the most freedom of speech, to recommend less coverage of terrorism so that people don't know about it, so that individuals. This is a direct extension, though, of what President Obama said in 2015 when he said that there's absolutely too much press coverage. He said that, too much press coverage of terrorism. And so this was the next extension. Secretary Kerry takes that from 2015, and then he says, well, you know what, press, cover it less so that people don't know these attacks exist.
We got what the president said. Let's play it.
Do you think the media sometimes overstates the sort of level of alarm people should have about terrorism and this kind of chaos as opposed to a longer-term problem of climate change and epidemic disease?
Absolutely. And, I don't blame the media for that. What's the famous saying about local newscasts, right? If it bleeds, it leads.
And there's only five more months I have to deal with this. By the way, the most dangerous aspect of his presidency is going to be the 72 days in between the election and the swearing in of the next president of the United States. That's when we got to be on our toes. All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back. But, Logan, the lines are jammed.
Yep, that's right. Usually one line just opened up, 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard on the air. You can also join us each and every day on Facebook and on Periscope. And join us right now over there, facebook.com/jsekulow, Periscope. Get your comments in that way. If the lines are busy, you also get to talk to us during the breaks.
All right, and don't forget our matching challenge campaign. 48 hours left, aclj.org.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and Jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back. So an outrageous statement by the Secretary of State basically saying the way that we should deal with terrorism is perhaps the media would do us a service if they didn't cover it quite as much. People wouldn't know what's going on. That's how Secretary Kerry's view of terrorism is. Do we have the let's find the Loretta Lynch one as well. Here's Loretta Lynch. Here's how she says you deal with terrorism.
Our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, it's unity, and it's love.
Oh, so it's unity and love is how we're going to beat terrorism, and don't report it. This is the strategy of the Obama administration, which, by the way, and breaking news alert here, it's not working. I mean, not working at all. By the way, also, we are going to get into the genocide issue, at least during later in the broadcast, and we'll bring it up some now, but I do want to make this report. 72 mass graves found in Syria and Iraq, primarily in Iraq. It looks like somewhere between 5,000-15,000 people. One of the survivors of one of the attacks went to the Associated Press, and the AP actually found the graves. It's horrific. It looks like it's Christians, Yazidis, and some Sunnis. Again, I guess the administration, Jordan, would say, John Kerry, well, don't report that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you
right.
wouldn't know about the genocide.
Because you don't want people to know that the fear is unfounded. And this is, again, he's making these comments after the terror attacks in Orlando, after San Bernardino, after the ISIS is fighting not just in Syria and Iraq, but has taken their strategy and become a international terror organization.
Yep.
That's what they've done. And now he's saying this. Now he's saying, the media downplay this. Don't scare the people. This is all that, you know, the government wanting to control the messaging.
Right.
And that's basically never going to happen again because of this so many outlets to get information. But I do think it goes to that point of, like a Hillary Clinton, this is their mindset. Is you downplay the bad and you upplay, you know, all those stories you see on the evening news about good things happening. You're kind of like, this doesn't even apply to me. Or this is like one person. Whereas these threats apply to all of us.
Right.
And they downplay that.
Right.
They downplay the things that apply to all, and they try to play up these, look, somebody's doing good economically in a small business. I mean, that's great. Wonderful in our country. That's not what is on people's minds right now.
All right. Do we have some comments coming in, Logan, and some phone calls?
Yeah, a lot of comments and some phone calls. Let's go ahead. Can we take a call? No, we need to take a second before we take a call. Let's go ahead. Terrence put in, when the government starts hiding info from the American people, that becomes a form of communism. That's a comment. Just definitely becomes that sort of area. Someone's watching from Australia. Hello. A lot of people
that's great.
Always tuning in on Facebook and Periscope from around the world, engaged in American politics. Always interesting to see. This is from Margie. Said, there can't be enough coverage about this stuff, about terrorism.
Right.
We need to know. And one person just said, Jay, please, if it's not too late, be our president.
Yeah, it is too late. I will not be. But I will say this. that this is an election for the seasons. That's for sure. And the terrorism issue is going to be, we said it, will be front and center. But I also want to say we are in federal court against the administration right now, against the State Department on the genocide issue, because we think that their talk is exactly what they do. No, a lot of talk sometimes, sometimes not so much talk, but zero action.
Yeah, I mean, so if you take what Secretary Kerry said about not covering terrorism as much, you know, it's kind of like how he made the statement written about genocide of Christians, right. It's wrong, and then came back, kind of pulled back and said, but he's not the judge and jury, when in fact the U.S. can go to the Security Council
and be the judge and jury.
Be the lead judge and jury,
right.
And persuade those other four permanent members to move ahead,
right.
And declare this a genocide, which is what has to happen. It's the same idea. It's the same idea of not wanting to play up the real threats,
right.
Facing our country and people seeking freedom around the world. You know, it's the dual front. The people experiencing ISIS daily, and it's us who experience the threat of an ISIS attack every single day.
Yeah, you know, I want to play. We like laying out the evidence for you on this broadcast. And to show you the mindset of the administration, why it's so dangerous on a global scene, we've written a book about it, by the way, that's going to come out September 20th called Unholy Alliance, that I've written. It is published by our friends at Simon Schuster Howard Books. It's hardback. It's available wherever books are sold. You can pre-order now, which we encourage you to do. But let's play John Kerry's statement, then we'll go take some calls, Logan. Let's go ahead and play John Kerry's statement where he talks about not being judge or jury on genocide, because I'm going to stop it at some point, but this is how absurd, again, the administration's policy is, with 15,000, upwards of 15,000 people dead, killed by ISIS in Iraq and some in Syria as well. This is what he says.
I want to be clear. I am neither judge, nor prosecutor, nor jury with respect to the allegations of genocide, crimes against humanity, and ethnic cleansing by specific persons.
Well, let me break it to you. We're the United States of America, okay? There's genocide going on. He's talking about trials. We're talking about stopping the genocide. Now, I mean, I deal with my time in courts. That's what I do. But, folks, this is not a legal action in that sense. You could bring up crimes against humanity and bring up genocide, and they should do that. But this idea that he's not a judge, I'm not a jury, I'm just going to – but finally they said it after they were forced to say it, that there's actual genocide here. And they, believe me, they didn't want to add Christians into that list. They had to because public pressure. All right, let's take a phone call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Miguel, who's calling.
Miguel.
Miguel's that cool? All right, let's go to Miguel in Los Angeles.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Miguel from Los Angeles.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm just wanted to say that I don't see what's wrong. I think it might have been misworded, but I agree with Secretary Kerry, and I've heard and I've replied to thousands of people who say when we show this on television, we're adding to what they want us to do.
So you have an attack not too far from you, Miguel, in San Bernardino, California. It was an ongoing attack. It was a live shooting situation, a live ongoing terrorist attack, as they all are. You would like to have a news blackout so nobody knows what's going on.
No, I don't want to have a news blackout, but I want...
Okay, well, what do you want? You want... Go ahead. What do you want?
That's what they want. Is it not what they want? Answer that.
No, you tell me what you want. There's a live shooter situation in San Bernardino that took place near you. Did you want the media not covering it live and reporting on it?
I'm not talking about San Bernardino.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about Iraq.
Oh, so if it happens to people that aren't in our country, it should be okay.
I don't think we have that much coverage of what happens in Iraq. There's suicide bombings there every day. They kill 50, 100 people.
It's a blip on the news.
You have to go look for it on the news. Same thing with Syria. So what I think I'm hearing for you is you're fine with a lot of coverage if it's happening here, but you're saying that you don't want to give them, you know, make them look stronger than they are internationally. I actually think that the media has done a pretty good job of trying to downplay the ISIS threat for the Obama administration internationally. Now, they can't hide from, and I think you understand that, Miguel, when the attacks occur here, when the attacks occur in Paris.
Yep.
And you know, their number one goal is not media coverage. Actually, ISIS has their own media network.
Right.
It is to kill the infidel. It is to kill their enemy. And so their number one focus is how to recruit people to kill.
Exactly.
Not to get attention. They are going to die in these attacks.
Well,
and so it's to kill people. Yeah. That's what their goal is.
And Logan, they've got a very good handle, ISIS does, on multimedia, social media platforms. Yeah. They've got their own, like Jordan said, they've got their own networks.
Right, it's not what you think of, like the cave terrorists that you think of in the 90s and the early 2000s. No, this isn't that at all. This is you look at the videos. I mean, they're horribly brutal and they're disturbing, but they're using really high-end cameras and equipment, and
latest one is a group of ISIS kids executing five captives by gun. Right. So I mean, we're talking young kids, young boys executing, but it's put out not in some grainy secret kind of footage way, but instead like highly produced. And that's how they're recruiting. They're not recruiting through what you see on your news broadcast. They've got their own news channel.
Yeah. And they, and effectively, and it's, I think part of it is, I'll go back to Logan on this, that our State Department and our CIA has not caught up with the contemporary use of media, that you can create your own channels.
Right. They, you know, they don't really understand that fact. It's the truth of the same way the glitch issue. It's, and they understand that people, everyday people now have a basic understanding of how all this works.
Exactly. 72 ISIS mass graves. Associated Press, by the way, finds this out. Upwards of 15,000 dead, somewhere between 5,000 and 15,000. They, it looks like it is Yazidis, Christians, and some Sunnis that disagree with the Islamic State. And I'm glad the Associated Press is reporting it. Do we have time for a phone call, another phone call, Logan?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a call. Let's let's go to Jamin, who's calling on line three.
Hey, Jamin.
Hey, Jay. How's it going, man?
Good, sir.
Hey, I'm just so thankful for everything you guys do.
Thanks.
And I just wanted to say real quick about how the administration works and how we just kind of let them play off that they don't understand. The naivety part of it is not a factor. They blatantly do what they're doing, and it screams lawlessness in my mind.
Well, here's what you got. You got thousands of Christians fleeing genocide right now committed by the Islamic State. So there are Christians included in this too, right? The Obama administration has announced that it's met its initial goal of 10,000 refugees from Syria to the United States. 99% of the admitted refugees are Muslim, despite the administration's alleged commitment to so-called diversity. And this is at the same time that the Secretary of State says, you know, we don't need to be looking at the media. So this shows you exactly what we're dealing with. Now, how do we respond to it? And I think that's important here because, again, as I say often on the broadcast, we don't just talk about it, we take action. So we've got, and I'm going to hold it up for our Facebook and Periscope and ACLJ.org audience, but I'll let our radio audience, you can hear it. There it is. American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of State. It is on the genocide issue. We've demanded, we've sent a FOIA request in. The State Department did not respond. We are demanding what they have done or are doing with regard to genocide. I think the answer to that is going to be absolutely, positively nothing. That's what I think the response will be. But we are in federal court, and then we get to depose people and find out what's happening. So we're fighting back on this. You can help us. We're in a matching challenge campaign. We got 48 hours to go. We're about 60,000 behind last year, about 100,000 behind where I'd like our goal to be. So if you can go to ACLJ.org, any amount you donate today and tomorrow, we're getting a matching gift, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We're going to take more calls, Logan. We come back from the break.
That's right. Again, if we do have one line open, 1-800-684-3110. And Rick and Dave will get to you coming up. But again, 1-800-684-3110. Or comments always available on Facebook and Periscope.
And don't forget that matching challenge at ACLJ.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-877. 989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
So Secretary Kerry says the best way to combat terrorism is don't talk about it, don't have the media cover it, which we think is beyond absurd. This goes, of course, with Loretta Lynch when she said the way you combat terrorism is with love, and that's the Obama administration policy. Meanwhile, 72 mass graves in Syria and Iraq, most in Iraq, looks like between 5 and 15,000 people are dead. These include Yazidis, Christians, and some Sunnis. So this is a horrific act of mass genocide. We are in federal court against the State Department because they say, finally said it was genocide, and they've done nothing about it. All right, we've got a lot of calls and a lot of comments. Let's get right to them.
All right, let's go to Rick, who's calling from Orlando, Florida. On
hi, Rick.
Floor.
Hi, Jay. It's an honor to talk to you.
Thanks.
And I just want to make a quick comment and then hang up.
Sure.
The comments by the Secretary of State are just dripping with hypocrisy. Here's a man who made his fame off of bashing the government in Vietnam about all the
yep.
cover-up with the media, and now it's his turn. He wants to cover it up, as well as being part of the Democratic Party, supposed to be the most open,
transparent
presidency ever, and here they're covering up and lying and everything, and then he's advocating. He doesn't want to make judgment calls. That is what we pay him to do.
Of course. I mean, this is you hit it. You get an A. Rick, because you hit it all correctly. He was the guy that utilized the media to complain about the Vietnam War. He's the guy that is, you know, we got the supposed to be the most transparent administration. They want less press coverage. And he doesn't want to be judge or jury on genocide. Okay, I'm not talking about in a court proceeding, in the U.S. policy. And this is a complete lack of understanding of the media, too.
Yeah, well, on one, he needs to, as the Secretary of State, if he believes what he said earlier, that there is a genocide ongoing, but he can't. He's not the ultimate one, and that is true to an extent. The UN has to take action. But if he believes what he said, he goes to the president and says, Mr. President, do I have authorization to present this to the UN Security Council as a resolution
right.
to invoke the Convention on the Punishment
of
and
genocide.
Prevention of Genocide? It is an international convention. The U.S. is a signatory, so are most UN members.
He will
That's
not.
The take action
and
point.
And they've not done it.
And they have not done that. They could do that. And when I now hear his statement about trying to downplay terror attacks and wishing the media wouldn't cover it so we don't know about it. People don't know about it. I include
the
us in
that.
The
terror attack includes genocide.
Yeah, right. The terror attacks include all of their activities because
yeah.
ISIS, you know, it's when we do hear the news out of Syria and Iraq,
yeah.
which, by the way, again, it's we only usually hear the most atrocious, so the kids executing people.
Right.
We don't hear that ISIS is going into a town and killing 100 people because that may not be something they put out the same way on video.
But this is both terrorism and genocide.
Yeah.
And you got the administration saying the way to deal with this is don't report it, and then we don't know the genocide's going on. Would you do that during the Nazi era? Which, by the way, there was some of that, where they were downplaying what was going on with the Jewish extermination in the camps. It was so horrific nobody could believe it, but the media finally was able to shine a light on it. But again, I think it's a complete lack of understanding of how the media works today, as if ISIS would not get this information out if it wasn't covered on MSNBC, CNN, and Fox. I mean, does anybody out there believe that? That if the U.S. media cable networks didn't cover it, that ISIS will not be effectively getting it out? That's absurd. But we just got to confront the evil we're dealing with. All right, let's grab some comments and some calls.
Yeah, a couple comments coming in. This is from George. You may not know, but I'm sure. I said, why does the U.N. have to take action, and where is the U.N. on the genocide issue?
So
that's from Eddie.
What Jordan just said, which is correct, there is a prohibition within a convention of on genocide. There's actually a treaty or a document that's been signed and executed by most member states, and that has not even been invoked yet. The rapporteur, that is the reporter, the person that's charged with covering it, has acknowledged it's genocide. But all we have right now is acknowledgments that it's genocide, Jordan. We don't have action on that genocide.
So we've got the Council of Europe, but not the European Union. We have different various countries, their foreign ministers, similar to Secretary Kerry.
Yep.
So his kind of counterparts in other governments that would be allies of ours making similar statements. But it all comes down to there are five permanent members of the UN Security Council. The U.S., France, the U.K., Russia, and China. Now, Russia wants to destroy ISIS for different reasons, so I don't see them as standing in the way. But they are not a country that brings forward these resolutions because sometimes they've come before to condemn countries that they work with close, like in Sudan, for instance. So they're not going to be the lead on this. China, not going to be the lead on this. They're not even that involved in this specific conflict. But I don't know that they would be a barrier. I don't think Russia would be a barrier.
I don't think China would be a barrier.
No, and so the UK and France, they'd follow our lead. And so what do you do? Then you've concretely taken the next step in the battle against ISIS. You're expanding past just NATO airstrikes because you then have the world, not just the U.S. So it builds this much larger coalition for us to work with. The world has a duty then to prevent the ongoing genocide, and then we'll be able to later easily prosecute not just the ISIS fighters we find on the battlefield, but all those people that are funding ISIS as well. But you do have to stop it first, and that's why the first word used in the convention is on the prevention of genocide. And this can be done, and it will take some pressure off our military, actually.
But you don't have to wait for a prosecution to prevent the actual act of genocide. And that's what Secretary Kerry hasn't read the convention, because the convention is for the prevention of genocide. There are ways that through the UN you can do that, through UN forces, multiple ways. Then you can prosecute at the International Criminal Court those that are responsible for causing the genocide if you can get them in. But the first job is prevent the genocide, and that is the fundamental problem here.
And if there's any left, I mean, what this convention really gives you the green light to do, which is a little bit unclear right now, whether the authorization is to go in and take out ISIS completely, and that means to kill. That means to.
But Hillary Clinton's policy is exactly the same here.
No, yeah, I don't see her rushing. She's not going to be rushing to the Security Council on this.
No,
and I think for Donald Trump, it would need to be explained clearly if this is the path. Now, if the U.S. wants to kind of go it alone more, I think we could. But this is the best strategy working with the left.
Yeah.
This is how the left would handle it. Yeah. I'd say a Trump presidency could handle ISIS differently. Yep. They may be more weary of the UN. Yep. I get that. But we're talking about what's most realistic under Obama even Clinton.
All right. Let's grab a call.
Let's go to Dave in New Hampshire. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Thanks for your show. It's just awesome. You're a blessing.
Great.
There's only one tiny sliver that's worthy of agreeing with, and that would be I don't like seeing the pictures of these guys, soul actors. I don't like seeing that. But for the federal government employee of any sort, especially someone like the Secretary of State, to encourage a secrecy or covertness against the American public to keep us in the dark.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that what China does?
Yes. No, this is absurd. And I said this, and I'll let Logan explain this again. ISIS actually has their own media outlets without Fox, CNN, MSNBC, or ABC, NBC, or CBS.
Right, without even revealing our sources, because we know some places you can go on the internet to find where they specifically upload all their video content that all the media sources know about. Again, it's something that's pretty private. It's not necessarily the easiest to find, but if you know where it is, it's,
you can get it.
Think about it like not Dropbox, but think about the similar kind of concept of where they put up files so you can pull down whatever you want and use whatever you'd like for them. And that's how they get their word out when it comes to video stuff. You're talking about, again, HD, well shot,
highly produced,
edited. It's pretty insane.
All right, so we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. Logan's going to let you know how you can get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast if your network is not carrying it, and then I'm going to ask you to do something in particular.
That's right. You can join us right now if you don't get the rest of the show on ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSeculo, or Periscope. Search for JSeculo, broadcasting live on all three of those sources. Later on, you can find it archived on Facebook still. You can watch it over there, but you can also get it on the JSeculo Live podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or however you get your podcast. You get the JSeculo Live podcast direct to your device each and every day. You can get also archived later on Apple TV or Roku or the ACLJ app on Apple devices.
So we are going to be in court today against the State Department on the issue of genocide. Your support for the ACLJ allows us to do it. We're in the last 48 hours of our matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Go ahead and make that gift. It makes a huge difference. It keeps us in the fight. ACLJ.org. Help us get to our goal. We're about 100,000 behind. ACLJ.org. More when we come back from the break.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
right, so take a look at the situation. This is beyond the pale. John Kerry is the Secretary of State of the United States. He should be at the forefront of our fight on terrorism. I want to play for you just a little bit of what he said. Do we have just the bite, or maybe we can get it, Will, where he talks about the media portion? Let's go ahead and get that. Let's go ahead and get it. I'm going to read it because it is, but it coming out of his words, it's even better, but I don't want to play the, how long's the bite?
We don't have him saying
it. It has not been released yet. Right. So here's what happened. He made the statement. He has not been released yet. And then the spokesperson made a statement, which we do have. But let me read for you what he said. But if you decide one day you're going to be a terrorist and you're willing to kill yourself, you can go out and kill some people. You can make some noise. Perhaps the media would do us all a service if they did not cover it quite as much. People wouldn't know what's going on. And then, by the way, people, the reports are that people clapped to that. And then you had the State Department was asked about it, and they said, I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to speak for, this is the official comment from the State Department press office. Now, that's his press secretary. We don't have the audio on this, but this is what they said. I am not able to speak for Secretary Kerry. He's the press spokesman for Secretary Kerry. So there you have it. All right, we're taking phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 and comments as well. Logan, what do we have?
That's right. Some phone lines are open, so if you want to get on the air, it's a good time to do it. 1-800-684-3110. This is a question. This is a comment from Dean. He said, so you ignore terrorism and it will go away? That is like ignoring the symptoms of a heart attack. It will still kill you. Yeah. So it's from Dean.
Yeah, well, Dean is absolutely correct. And Jordan, it does point to a fundamental issue. We've talked about some already. 72 mass graves, 15,000 people, it looks like up to. Christians, Yazidis, some Sunnis as well, that were killed by ISIS. This has just been uncovered by Associated Press. And what is the response that John Kerry wants? Don't talk about it.
Yeah, don't talk about it because it's bad for President Obama's narrative on Islam.
Which is what all this is about.
Islam, foreign policy, his legacy. Listen, part of his legacy will be that he has left the world in a very dangerous situation. We have this new threat of Islamic terror that did not exist when he came into office. Yes, we still had offshoots of terror groups, and we're always going to deal with radical Islamic terrorism, but it's the scope of it. So Al-Qaeda had been almost completely decimated. In fact, under his presidency, Osama bin Laden is killed, finally tracked down and killed. And yet what happens? Because of the vacuum he creates in this kind of, he also declared his own wrong victory over Islamic terror and said, oh, see, Islam's fine. And guess what? And remember his first tour, even before bin Laden was caught and captured and killed. And what do we have now? An Islamic terror group that will certainly survive the Obama presidency.
Oh,
so it will be part of his legacy is the conflicts that will be ongoing when he leaves office.
You know, including the conflict that with, you know, he has the Iran deal, and it's now been, we reported this early, but now it's being reported by everybody. The close encounters between the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Navy and the U.S. Navy doubled since last year. Doubled. Warning shots are being fired after week-long series of confrontations with Iran. All this is happening simultaneously. Do we have time to grab a call here, Logan? Or do you want to wait till after the break?
Yeah, let's wait till after the break. It's only a minute and a half. We have some comments that we can get to.
All right, let's do some comments.
This is a question. This is from Dan. So John Kerry doesn't want us to know if the enemy is coming. Interesting comment.
Yep.
A lot of those comments coming in. Why didn't they concentrate on getting more Christian refugees into the U.S.? That's from Robert.
Can we address that one?
We've got about a minute.
I think it's my theory is they didn't want to do it because it wasn't politically correct, and they just didn't care. And they're going to say, well, the percentages of Christians are not as high as the Muslim population, so we've let a few in. But I just think that wasn't a priority for them.
In Syria, we know that the percentage of Christians is actually fairly high for the Middle East. So if this number tracked closer, instead of less than 1%, to closer to like 10%, for instance, that would be, I don't think it wouldn't be a story anymore. If 10% of these refugees were Christian, that would match the demographics of Syria.
But it doesn't.
The other problem is that we aren't protecting Christians in the refugee camps, so some of them are afraid to even label themselves as such because they are still in refugee camps with Muslims who may not be as radical as ISIS, but would still hurt them and pose a threat to them if they knew they were Christians.
All right, folks, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break. Logan's going to give you the number right now, and you can also get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope.
Yep, 1-800-684-3110. I think during this break we're going to show a clip so you'll be able to see some more information about the John Kerry situation. That's on Facebook and on Periscope, but you can give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and Jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3122. Secretary Kerry says, oh, if there's just not so much coverage, these acts won't happen. We've got an opposing call. I think we should take it.
All right, let's go to Deborah in Newark, New Jersey.
All right, Deborah, you're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Yes. Hey.
I don't have an opposing call. I want to restate what I think is Secretary Kerry's point of view.
Sure.
I think what he's trying to say is, if there had not been wall-to-wall press coverage prior to San Bernardino, then that nutty couple wouldn't have been inspired to get assault weapons and go to their Christmas party and spray everybody with bullets.
Deborah, you don't believe that for 1 minute. No, I'm being honest, and I'm being kind here. You don't believe that
because
Deborah, you don't believe that the reason the Tifin Malik got radicalized was because he saw it on TV. They have their own media capabilities independent of what we're showing on Fox or CNN or MSNBC or the networks. There's a complete underground. I'll let Logan address this one first. Deborah, and I appreciate you calling, but there's a complete underground media that it's not so underground. It's vast.
Right, exactly.
Including Twitter.
Oh, yeah. They always pop up on Twitter, get shut down as quickly as they can. But, yeah, I mean, you'll find a lot of ISIS-related things on social media. There's millions and millions of people. Sometimes it's hard to get shut down as soon as they do. Twitter and Facebook are really good about shutting them down. But it does happen from time to time.
That's the most public communication.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you can also, when it comes to the more private stuff, it's just, you just have to know where to look.
And it's there.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to find. I mean, you can find it through Google. You can go into the black web if you want, but you don't have to go into the dark web to do this. And by the way, I'd say
explain the dark web is.
The dark web is just, it's a whole nother .com kind of setup.
Yeah, you're not typing in www.
No,
you're typing numbers and
codes. You've got to know where to go. But I'm telling you, like, high school students in America know how to do this now. Your kids know how to do this now if they want. If they're into computers, you don't have to be into computers to do it. That's where you could have, these websites that don't get pulled down, that are much more radical. And that's where ISIS actually publishes their magazine, though the American news, that sites that do work on terrorism then publish it for us to see. But they actually publish on the dark web. But what we know is the recruitment has not been done. It's not done because of, I saw something on TV about what happened in Syria and Iraq. It's done with they are finding the people through internet tools. And communicating with them directly. In this situation in San Bernardino, it appeared that individual was recruited through his wife, who was a recruiter, online, set up online to meet each other in Saudi Arabia. Right. So that was happening outside of the media going on. In Orlando, again, you have these individuals, the communication trails, the mosque that they went to was the same mosque that someone else who signed up to ISIS went to. They had direct contact. So there's no evidence that because they see it on TV, that's the reason why they do it. Do they want attention for what they do? Absolutely. But we as Americans, we all have a right to know what is going on in our communities, who did something and why.
Yeah, KT McFarland, our friend from Fox News, a military analyst, State Department, former State Department expert, worked for the Reagan administration. She had an interesting comment. I tried to get her on. It was a little late when we decided to do it, but maybe we can get her on later this week. Here's what she had to say about it.
Look, my response to him, if you do your job and keep us safe and destroy ISIS and stop terrorism in the United States and worldwide, we'll report on it a lot less because there'll be nothing left to report. But as long as the administration fails and refuses to recognize the problem, and as long as ISIS and radical Islam grows exponentially, then yes, the media is doing its job by letting the American people know.
I think she's absolutely 100% correct. It's the United States of America, for goodness sake. Let's go ahead and take some more calls at 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. The lines are open. We have a couple lines open. Get in the conversation right now. Let's go to April in Queens.
Hey, April.
April, yes, good afternoon.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, two things. Sure. I think that the reason why the president and his administration, they had a plan, they have a plan not to cover it, because they feel if they cover it, the American people are going to say, do something now.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want, I think because he's, respectfully, I'm saying that he's a coward. He doesn't have the strength to do what has to be done, and he doesn't want to touch it. He doesn't care if Trump has to touch it or Hillary, as long as it's not him. In his legacy time. So he's looking at his calendar, waiting for January to come.
Let me say this. I'll let you finish in a moment here, but I think you're on that point, you're correct. We've been saying this. It cuts against his narrative. He's had a narrative with the Middle East. Nothing has worked out the way he's planned. And because of that, he doesn't address the issue. And Jordan's been saying this, he just passes it on. I mean, that's kind of his approach. Let Jordan make a comment, then I'll let April finish.
Yeah, I really do believe that this administration doesn't want to fully engage this.
Right.
They're trying to distance themselves enough where, so it maybe won't try. They're trying to make it not part of the Obama legacy because he's taken such little action on it. The truth is they just don't like highlighting Muslims carrying out terror attacks.
Yeah.
That, you know what? They love highlighting gun violence, unless it's Muslims behind the gun violence and it's terrorism. And then, we don't want to highlight that anymore. They love highlighting violence in other areas of the world where they feel like a more moral duty, not the Islamic world. Not what's happening to Christians. You know, it's all this, their liberal ideology mixed in with the now idea of how his legacy will be.
Yeah,
received.
And I think the legacy is a factor here. All right, April, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I know you had another comment.
Well, yeah, my husband says maybe it's because if the American people hear about it, they'll become more anxious and they'll vote for Trump because they know he'll be tough.
Well, look, I mean, part of this, I hate to say this, part of this is a political play.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Donald Trump is going gain votes from people who are nervous because about our country's direction, because Hillary Clinton has said she's going to continue the same strategy. Donald Trump has talked about a more aggressive one.
You know, Logan, you said early on in the latter part of the campaign here that you still think with these terrorism attacks that have been happening, and they are still happening, that you think that the terrorism issue still plays for your generation as the number one. Are your kids going to be safe going to school? Are they going to be safe in the movie theater, in the mall?
Especially if stuff keeps coming up. I mean, we've had a couple weeks now of relatively quiet.
Yeah.
But there was when it was just
every couple of days.
It's just that's the only thing your mind comes to. So, you know, it's sad to say, but you assume sometime between now and one of the election, something will happen, and that will just re-trigger this thought.
Yep. All right, let's try to grab another call, and then we're going to kind of move topics a little bit.
All right, let's go to Don in Wisconsin.
Hi, Don.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. The lawlessness of government is nothing more than the violation of the 13th Amendment, forced servitude. Everyone is living in fear to expose the truth. And taxpayers are paying more for government cover-ups than they are for what their duties are.
And let me tell you what we've done on that front, because I understand the frustration. I'm holding in my hand the lawsuit that we filed against the State Department, and we've been talking about the genocide issue a lot today, because once Secretary Kerry finally said something about it, they've done nothing. As Jordan said, the first thing they could utilize is gone to the UN and the prevention of genocide treaties and put those in place. They didn't do it. Now, we've asked for the information on that, and we filed a federal lawsuit to find that out. But, Jordan, that was the first task they could have done, and they decided not to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so this is...
So we're not just talking about it.
No, it's the administration... Time and time again, whether it's why we file these FOIA requests is to get to the bottom of their thought process. They will play lip service, whether it's on the genocide issue or the FBI director playing lip service on the Hillary Clinton investigation.
Right.
It's lip service, and then, okay, why but why? How did you come to your conclusion on action or non-action? What is going on? How can you say this and then do nothing? How can you, FBI director, lay all this corruption out and then say do nothing? Now, we're going to find out Wednesday, it looks like. So tomorrow, sometime, whether it comes out at midnight tonight or tomorrow morning, hopefully
the
before
FBI
the broadcast
is
tomorrow.
A report on the Clinton email investigation, well, including
report,
the notes.
Their report and the notes that they took during
which
their meeting
12 pages,
with
by
Hillary
the way.
Clinton. I don't want to blow this out of proportion and think that there's going to be bombshells here.
No.
But I do think it will at least give us more insight into how bad of a decision the FBI director made.
And there's also going to be, it looks like, that now the New York Times is in their editorial calling for the Clintons to leave the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah,
I think they had to come to that conclusion. And then I think in light of the Huma Abedin and that and her marital situation, which I don't want to get into the marital situation there because I feel sorry for the child involved in this. And I feel sorry. It's embarrassing for Huma Abedin and humiliating. Having said that, there's political ramifications of this. So we're going to, in the next segment of the broadcast, we're going to talk about all of that at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Logan, do we have time for a call or comment?
We can probably take a very quick call. Let's go to Lee in Santa Barbara.
Hey, Lee.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say, sometime, I can't remember who it was, but somebody once said, all that's necessary for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. And for the last 8 years, we've seen the United States do nothing, and look how evil is prospering, even in our own country.
Yeah, Edmund Burke was who said that. And look, I mean, we don't live in a country where we have the luxury of doing nothing, I don't think. I think we're fighting for survival of Western civilization, and when you are, you got to fight back again. That's the reason we're in federal court. Okay, Logan is going to let you know how you can get involved in the next segment of the broadcast, both on Facebook, Periscope, and on phone calls from our radio audience, and I'm going to ask you all to do something
particular.
Yeah,
we just took a bunch of callers, so actually three lines are currently open right now, and there may even be more, so 1-800-684-3110. If you make it through really quick, we'll do our best to get to each and every call.
All right. So
you can also join us, of course, on social media.
Yeah, and get your questions and comments into social media. I am also going to ask you to support us in our matching challenge campaign. We are in the final 48 hours. We're about $140,000 off from where my goal would like to be. So ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. Again, ACLJ.org. And if you want to talk to us on air, we encourage you to do it. Get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope as well. But go ahead and call us at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Lines are now open. We'll take your calls on the politics of the week when we come back from the break.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
there are a lot of reports on the political side of it. We're going to get into it. The FBI is still releasing its notes and memorandums tomorrow on the Hillary Clinton email investigation. This comes on the heels of a report in Daily Caller where Hillary Clinton's closest aides worried about who had access to her email addresses. So that's a problem. By the way, the server that the emails were on was at one time used by the Clinton Foundation, just a little point of reference there, and was built in their home. You also have, in addition to all of that, Donald Trump's going to make a major speech to Wednesday or Thursday on immigration. So, Jordan, give us kind of a – and we'll take your calls. We want to know where you are politically on this. And that is 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. And people are asking, does Jay Sekulow Band have a page and watch just that on Facebook? Yes, Jay Sekulow Band on Facebook. All right, where are we?
So Donald Trump has got a major speech tomorrow. And so you've got two big things happening in this campaign tomorrow. One, the FBI releasing the report on Hillary Clinton. I think don't put too much weight on that until we actually see what gets released. We're supposed to be getting the full 30 pages that was sent over to the DOJ that includes the FBI, what they found and why they recommended no prosecutions of anyone
right.
when it comes to the email matter. Also, we're going to get 12 pages that came from the FBI notes when Hillary Clinton gave her testimony at her home with the agents. That was not on videotape. It wasn't technically a deposition. She was not under oath, but we're going to get those notes. So about 40-something pages of documents. Not overwhelming if it comes out
not
by the morning.
Not under oath, though, by the way. Think about that for a moment.
Yeah, we should be able to have the full analysis for that on radio tomorrow, as long as it comes out early enough. Second,
you know why they didn't put her under oath? Because they didn't want, because if she lied under oath, she'd be guilty of obstruction of justice.
Yeah.
So if it was you under, if you were being investigated by the FBI at that point, let me tell you what you would have been under. Under oath.
Yeah, especially the final interview. I mean, they literally did this interview, and then 3 days later, Comey was out.
Yeah, it was a full investigation.
It was, yes, total junk on July 4th. Second, I will say to people, you know, really watch closely the Donald Trump speech tomorrow. There's been so much confusion on the immigration issue. His surrogates have been out there trying to explain. You know,
they've explained it three different ways though.
And the only thing that's consistent is no difference on building the wall, still there, and no difference on making it tougher to come into the country. Okay, we get that. It's what to do with the people who are already here illegally. Yeah. We are supposed to get clarification for Donald Trump on that tomorrow in Arizona. And I think that's a good thing for the Trump campaign. Hopefully it is clear enough to where that moves on because there's going to be plenty of Clinton info for them to utilize.
All right. And let's go right to – I wonder if – you know, I've thought about if I was Donald Trump, what I would let – when is his speech supposed to be?
It's tomorrow evening in Arizona.
Yeah,
so,
I'll tell you, I would let this Clinton stuff play out for a day or two and before I do it. I think he's postponed it twice.
Too long. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and take these calls. Logan.
Well, first, quickly, John said he thanks us and said just made a donation to the ACLJ.
Tell him and that is matched. So we appreciate that, John. Thank you very much.
A lot of people are commenting with similar comments. That's very good. Let's go to Will, who's calling in Maryland.
Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. God bless you.
Thanks.
Hey, you know, I saw this video where politicians were caught rigging voting polls or voting machines. Yeah. I mean, and with stuff like that, my concern is how can we trust a system?
Well, you know what you got to do? We've got the best system we have. We live in the United States of America, and you have to vote. I mean, it's not perfect, but I don't think there's mass voter irregularity. It's not en masse. I've never seen it en masse. I do think voter ID, those things make sense, but I think we still live in the best system in the world. And don't get so discouraged that you don't participate in the electoral process.
Yeah, I saw this article yesterday that Donald, and I thought it was incorrect, actually, that Donald Trump was somehow taking this too seriously and going to have poll watchers to watch for rigged voting. Let me tell you, just from working on three presidential campaigns, you always recruit poll watchers.
Right.
And then the people who oversee the poll watch to look for irregularities, to make sure as people are going in to cast their votes, and all the major candidates will have someone there, is to make – and then who oversees those poll watchers?
Yeah.
Attorneys. You will – if you wanted to look closely on election day, you can track the lawsuits that are being filed, and they are being filed on voting issues. But has there ever been a case that said, oh, this is what swung it? That's the situation. Now, more local level, that's when things get a little
bit. But there is also the concern out there. I mean, Will pointed this out, our producer, and that is the FBI has uncovered evidence that foreign hackers penetrated two state election databases in just the last couple of weeks. That's what you got to really look out for right now.
When I saw that, this is when my conspiracy side comes out. I think, again, that's the DNC, or the left, trying to put blame on Russian hacking that may not be happening, and that it could be, again, the left meddling. I mean, there's got to be something that's driving Donald Trump on this rigged issue. That a state like Arizona would be the perfect one for if Hillary Clinton were to take from Republicans like Arizona, it would make it impossible for a Republican to win the presidency.
Right. All right, Logan?
Yeah, another comment just came in, said I donate a small amount. Sorry it wasn't more, but they still donate.
Listen, if you donate $2, we get four. So five is 10, 10 is 20, 20 is 40. So any amount helps. We're trying to get about, I want to increase over last year about $100,000. So we're behind about 140. ACLJ.org for our matching challenge campaign. Let's grab another
Robert
call.
In Pennsylvania.
Hi, Robert.
Hi.
Hey.
I just wanted to say that President Obama, he had a lot of help from a non-functioning Congress and stuff that he couldn't push all of his agenda and stuff that he wanted to. And it doesn't seem as though it's fair to put all of the blame on him.
You got a divided government, and that's the way our constitutional republic's set up. So, the president doesn't control the House. He's not a king. The House and the Senate is controlled by the Republican parties, and they get to do their job. So, I mean, part of this is that's just the way a constitutional republic's set up. What you have to do then is compromise and work out arrangements and deals, as one of the candidates keeps saying. And the president just didn't want to do that very much. And when he did do it, it was so comprehensive. I mean, you realize, and we haven't had a chance to get into this, Obamacare is falling apart in like unbelievable. We haven't even had time to report it. A complete unmitigated disaster.
Prices skyrocketing. The registration goal is not even close to being met. So that only happened one time. Below 40% of where their goal should be. Yes, and I think you keyed on the point is that when you have a divided government, you can get things done by compromise. It does not make you always popular with your own base, but especially in your second term as president, so what? You're not running again. If you care about getting things done, you could have compromised. He could have done a lot more, gotten more done, even on the immigration issue, but he wouldn't have gotten everything he wanted.
He just wouldn't do it.
And that just, the voters were never going to give him that full authority after the Obamacare situation.
Right.
They've made sure to keep the divided government. So as much as people say, oh, I don't like this stalled government, actually what we see is that American voters under this president have liked a government that has made it very difficult for him
to pass laws. Little checks and balances, we call them in the Constitution. All right, let's take the last call.
All right, George on line five.
Hey, George.
Hey, guys. This is George Sainbrook calling from small town USA here in Alexandria, South Dakota. My question for you is, if you haven't been charged, you can't be pardoned, correct? So did James Comey do us a favor by not charging Hillary? Does that leave the door open for the next administration?
No. I can't imagine once the election's over, if Hillary Clinton is not successful, that anyone's going to prosecute it. It's kind of not the way you do it in America. It's not the way it's done. And I think it would be over. I don't see anything else happen.
I mean, technically, could you? Yes. Would Donald Trump coming into the Oval Office
want to
focus on Hillary Clinton?
Forward.
Nah, he doesn't. He wants to focus on what Donald Trump's agenda is: defeating ISIS, the building the wall. Those kind of things are going to take center stage. What to do with Obamacare that's falling apart? Not Hillary Clinton anymore. She'd be old news and out of power at that point.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We got our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift. For a lot of you telling us online, you're doing that. We appreciate it. ACLJ.org. Last 48 hours. And Logan, there's a lot of ways for people to stay engaged, including Facebook and Twitter.
That's right. Obviously, all our social media elements, you there. Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, ACLJ. You'll find it all there, as well as on Facebook and on the Jay Sekulow Live app, the ACLJ app, where you can get Jay Sekulow Live television on Apple TV, Roku, however you get media, you can find the ACLJ right there.
ACLJ.org for that matching challenge.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you.